All right, we are now on agenda item number 3, which is PR 2022-7680. The application is SD 2022-88, preliminary and final plat. We are back with CSI Cartesian Surveys, Inc., agent for Carla Coletti, requests this preliminary and final plat for all or a portion of lots 2 and 3, subdivision of lot 13 of Navajo Addition, zoned R1A, located at 1125 12th Street Northwest between Summer Avenue Northwest and Sawmill Road Northwest, containing approximately 0.1876 acres. Mr. Mulhall, are you here? Is there anybody else besides yourself here to present on this matter?
Yes, it's Ren Mulhall with Cartesian Surveys. Our client, Carla Coletti, is also an attendance in the Zoom call. And so I don't know if you want to swear her in now or just when she needs testimony.
In case you do want to speak, Ms. Coletti, if you would just raise your right hand and answer this question, do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Then we're going to ask your agent, Mr. Mulhall, to present this matter. Mr. Mulhall?
Certainly. So this is Ren Mulhall with Cartesian Surveys. So the intent of this platting action was a minor lot line adjustment. The lot line is moving from its current orientation just a little bit to the east in order to better follow an existing fence line that exists between the two private residences on these lots 2 and 3. We are also requesting a determination to allow the existing sidewalk widths and determination from sidewalk buffers on both streets. The sidewalk determination was only for Summer, I believe, because 12th Street does meet the minimums.
And tell me more about that determination. It has an existing 4.6 foot sidewalk. Is that right?
The 4.6 sidewalk is along 12th Street Northwest. Okay. And there's also a sidewalk along Summer Avenue that is 4.1 feet wide. And so we were asking for determination for the landscape buffer along 12th Street because we don't have the sufficient space and it's out of character of the neighborhood to provide that much landscape buffer. There already is a buffer in place, and so that was part of our justification. And then we were asking for width and buffer determination for Summer Avenue.
Okay. And so that's part of your request as part of this preliminary or final plat. All right, let me ask, is that it, Mr. Mulhall?
That's right, with Cartesian. The only other item that the plan is currently showing is a 5-foot overhead utility easement that was requested by Lumen. And so that's being provided along our frontage with Summer Avenue. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there members of the public who are here to make comments or question this application, item number 3 on our agenda? I see none. Let me ask Ms. Gomez, has anybody identified themselves as wanting to participate here from the public?
I have not seen anyone, Mr. Hearing Officer.
Thank you. I see that Ms. Wolfley has her hand up. Ms. Wolfley.
Yes, Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Jolene Wolfley. Mr. Mulhall is one of our great surveyors that puts these notes, and I just wanted to clarify procedurally what we have done. So the to maintain an existing sidewalk at existing widths is a determination by the DHO with a note to be on the plat. With regard to the landscape buffer, we have not actually put those as a formal determination or put them on the plat in the past, just because there usually is so much variance with regard to landscape buffers that we talk about it in the planning process and accommodate or not accommodate based on existing conditions and abilities to do that and need to do that. So I just want to clarify that typically we do not have the landscape buffer as a determination or on the plat.
Okay. Thank you for that. Mr. Mulhall?
Yeah, this is Remold Cartesian. Yeah, we'd be happy to remove that. I think that given sort of variability of how landscape buffers get handled, that makes sense to us. We just wanted to be thorough on the plat. While it's shown, I did want to note that I did neglect to mention that Ms. Coletti did herself secure a variance from setback standards that is noted on the plot as well. And so that ZHE variance note, which was approved January 4th, is shown there. And that was for her rear yard setback. And then I don't know if I did mention, but the lot line adjustment does improve the non-conforming side setback for that lot 3A. So I just wanted to note that while it was brought to attention. Thank you.
And if I could ask Mr. Mulhall, are both of these lots, lot 2A and lot 3A, owned by Ms. Coletti?
No, this is Remold Cartesian Surveys. So we are working for Ms. Coletti's agent. She owns the residence on lot 2A. And the other owner is Chelsea Danielson, and she owns lot 3A, a separate residence. Thank you.
And Ms. Danielson has, this is DHO Campbell, Ms. Danielson has approved of that, of this plat, this proposed plat, correct?
Yes, sir. This is Ryan with Cartesian. You'll see the signature there for Ms. Danielson for lot 3 is provided on the plat itself. We also had a letter of authorization signed by her allowing us to work on her behalf. I believe she might even be attendance with Ms. Coletti. I think I saw her on the video, but I might be wrong.
She is here today.
Okay, Ms. Danielson, do you wish to speak?
Maybe. I mean, yes, we've been working on this for a while, and
let me just ask you if you would raise your right hand and answer whether you will swear or affirm that you're going to say the truth, tell the truth today.
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Danielson, go ahead.
Oh, we've just been working on this for a while now, and we, you know, have done all the appropriate steps, and thanks to y'all's help, and we just hope to get it finished up. I have my plumbing that exists on that side, and it works out for both of us if we can get it taken care of.
Good. Well, thank you for being here today. We will very quickly go through our comments from members of the development facilitation team. We'll start with Mr. Gutierrez with the Water Authority.
Hi, this is David Gutierrez, the Water Authority. I have no objection to the proposed lot line adjustment. Each lot has water and sewer already. Thank you.
And thank you. Now, Mr. Palmer, Code Enforcement.
Thank you. Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement. As Mr. Mulhall indicated and is noted in their submittal, that the property has obtained the required variance of 2'4" to the required 15-foot rear yard setback for the home located on lot 2A at 1125 12th Street Northwest, variance number VA 20220321. So the proposed replat now meets the IDO requirements for setbacks for existing structures as proposed. Code enforcement has no further comments and no objections.
Parks and Rec, Ms. Phelan.
Good morning. This is Whitney Phelan with Parks and Recreation, and I have no comments or objections to this requested action.
Thank you very much. We turn to Mr. Tiquan Chen with Hydrology.
Tiquan Chen, Hydrology. Hydrology has no objection to the plating action. Thank you.
Thank you. And transportation, Mr. Armijo.
Ernest Armijo, transportation. Transportation has no objection to the lot line adjustment, but your justification letter for allowing sidewalks to remain the existing width made some assumptions that need to be addressed. The letter stated that 4-foot sidewalks meet ADA, which only works if there's 4-foot clear around any obstructions and there are 5-foot passing areas spaced at regular intervals, which is why the city typically requires 5-foot minimum. There are several obstructions on the sidewalk along Summer, which narrows the ADA path to less than 4 feet. Please provide a 4-foot clear pathway around all obstructions. The passing zones I can waive, as the farthest they are allowed to be spaced is 200 feet, which is longer than the frontage on either road. So in summary, basically we just need 4-foot clear around the obstructions. I believe we have a power pole, fire hydrant, and I think a traffic sign.
Let me ask Mr. Mulhall if that's a change or a modification that can be made.
So this is Ren Mall with Cartesian Surveys. I believe some of the items can be adjusted. The street sign in particular, I was hoping that you could address as far as sort of public signage and an improvement that presumably the city would oversee. I'm just not familiar with, I guess, the process for how relocating that sign would go. But that would be, I guess, the first item that I'd like you to address for us. What's the process for moving that sign?
Ernest Army Hill Transportation, that would, I believe, would go through the traffic operations section for DMD. They handle that. I mean, the sign, I think, could possibly be moved, though we typically don't put those right at the edge. I think the biggest issue you're going to have is the power pole and the fire hydrant.
Right. And so to move on to that, I appreciate you giving us the guidance to work with traffic operations about potentially relocating that street sign. So that was kind of the easy one. The other two, I mean, again, starting with Cartesian, these are, you know, public improvements that were placed in the public right away and that cause, you know, the obstructions here. And so our clients are just looking for any type of, I guess, guidance you could recommend for how to move those improvements or what steps need to be taken there to get clearance there, because currently there isn't. I mean, the relocation of the fence and everything near that hydrant would cause loss of trees. I assume we'd need to work with the utilities if we wanted to move that utility pole in front of Miss Danielson's lot on 3A.
Ernest Army Hill Transportation. Okay, so typically in these situations, we require the sidewalk be built. Basically, you extend the sidewalk around these obstructions, because moving fire hydrants and moving power poles, these utilities typically are not moved for this. We require the sidewalk to be built around. I mean, I understand that it'll cause some changes to the fence line and possibly some plantings, but moving utilities is much more disruptive than adjusting fence lines.
If I'm not mistaken, this is DHO Campbell, I understand that you're asking for the DHO determination from the sidewalk width to address this very issue. Is that right?
No, this is Raymond with Cartesian. So the determination would be for the overall run of the sidewalk and the widths for that entire run, not for the obstructions that that we're discussing with Mr. Armijo. The DPM requires set width values for sidewalk width and landscaping. And so we were requesting determinations for the overall run of the front edges of the property for those standards. We understand that it's sort of a separate issue to deal with the 4-foot clearance of the obstacles and things like that. Thank you.
All right. Let me ask just for any final conclusion on that from Mr. Armijo. I see we've got a visual now of the property, 12th Street. Do you have it on Summer as well?
Yes, Ryan with Cartesian. I think you're starting to turn into where our property is. That's, I think, further south. So yeah, now you're heading towards where our property is. There we go. Okay, so there's the hydrant there. It's 41 inches from the outside edge of that hydrant to the property line. So it's very close to meeting the 4-foot clearance there. And then it's a similar distance for the telephone pole anchor a little bit further west. It's that 41 inches. And then the utility pole is 36 inches from the outside edge of that utility pole over to the fence line there, the property line.
42 inches, is that what you said?
36 for that utility pole, 41 for the other obstructions.
All right, Mr. Armijo, any comments on that?
Ernest Armijo, transportation. So yeah, in situations like this, and I guess I should clarify that I am fine with the determination. So I'm not asking for the full widths that the DPM asks for along both of these frontages, but I would need 4 feet clear around these obstructions. The power pole is actually, even though it, as Mr. Mahal did point out, it does seem like it's closer. There's actually room to build out the sidewalk around it to where you can get around it. The fire hydrant is actually the worst situation here, and we would need a bulb out 4 feet around that fire hydrant for ADA access along that sidewalk.
And so you've said two things that seem inconsistent, if I might ask. You said you're okay with the determination, but that you would require a 4-foot bulb out for around the fire hydrant.
That is correct. I can understand the confusion, but where I'm okay with the determination, the determination was based on that if I went with the DPM, they would be required to put in a 5-foot sidewalk along Summer. And let's see, what was it for the other one?
12th Street. I think
12th
it's
Street. Yes. Yeah, so they would need 6 feet along there. They don't have either of those widths. I am okay with leaving the sidewalks at their current width, but we would need ADA access around those obstructions.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, we will now move to planning comments, Mr. Rodenbeck or Ms. Wolfley.
Actually, this is Robert Webb with planning. I'll do this one. Before final sign off by staff, we just need to add the project and application numbers to the plat. And just wanted some clarity with the different discussion that we've had regarding the sidewalk and landscape buffer outside of the ADA requirements. You guys are requesting the DHO determination and will not be including any type of infrastructure list and financial guarantee. Is that correct?
This is from Mahal with Cartesian Surveys. So an infrastructure list would not be necessary, to my understanding, because of the DPM standards that we're looking for determination from. I'm not certain if an infrastructure list is warranted for these bump outs or not. If that needs to be financially guaranteed and through the infrastructure list for sort of the radial bump outs that Mr. Armijo is requiring along the hydrant and utility pole.
Okay. Jay, do you know if there's anything that they would need to do to move forward on that?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. So I think transportation or the city engineer would need to confirm if an infrastructure list would need to be required for this.
And now you're talking about just the bulb out around the fire hydrant. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I believe so.
Okay. All right. I see Mr. Biazar has his hand up. Mr. Biazar.
Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Shahab Biazar. So a couple of things. If you're going to need those bulb outs, we have to see if you need to acquire additional right of way for that. And then the second thing is those need to be taken care of as far as creating those bulb outs. So, I mean, it's if you're trying to make a decision today, then, you know, we probably will need an infrastructure list, even though there are a couple of small items. Or we could defer this and they could create those bulb outs and come back and do the plot later. It's up to the customers, but we will need an infrastructure list to just create those little bulb outs for the clearance.
Thank you, Mr. Biazar. I see that Ms. Coletti's hand is up, either Ms. Coletti or Ms. Danielson. I apologize for the tech speak that we use in this hearing. So if you have clarity.
Yeah. I have, thank you very much for saying that, but we're tracking that fine. I did just want to mention that this is new information to us. Chelsea and I had together gone through the initial review, and we did hear from transportation that the sidewalk width, we would need a waiver. And so we have addressed that, and we appreciate you responding favorably in that direction. We went through the variance process. We accomplished that. And so this is at the end of the stage here. We're getting this information. So we were in hopes that there might be some way to work with the city. There is 41 inches from the hydrant to the fence, which I understand you're referencing 48 inches. At this time, a wheelchair can get through there. It's a little closer with the pole and then the tethers of the pole. So there's two points of obstruction there from your perspective. And we understand that. And we're willing to work with you on that in front of Chelsea's house. For sure, to make that accessible. So I guess the question I have, based on what I've just said and the time and commitment we've shown here, is there any way we can work with you on the hydrant so as not to have to do a bump out into that corner of my yard, which will require taking out two trees? And as you say, I don't know, additional right of way. So is there any thoughts on?
Ernest Army Hill Transportation. Unfortunately, the required width for ADA is federal. We're following federal guidelines on this. I mean, the city standards I can waive, which is why I waived the requirement for 5 foot and 6 foot sidewalks, but I can't waive ADA regulations since those are federal. So, I mean, we would need that 4 feet around that hydrant and any other obstructions that might be in the sidewalk.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. When you say 4 foot around, so that would be, we would need a 4 foot diameter. And that means
basically 4 foot clear from any point on those obstructions.
On the north side of the sidewalk, north side of hydrant.
Yes, because you know we can't go to the south because then you're bumping out into the roadway.
And so that means I would extend into my property 8 or 9 inches. Basically, if I'm at 10 inches, I guess, if we're at 41, 42 inches now?
41, 42. If you're at 41, 42, then 6 inches.
Or 6 inches. So, and that would require what exactly to accomplish that?
Now, typically we do require right-of-way dedication because sidewalk needs to be within city right-of-way. We can also, look at doing it with a sidewalk easement, which is a little bit easier than just doing right-of-way dedication. We prefer the right-of-way, but we can get away with the easement.
Okay, and beyond that, is that work that you're anticipating that we pay for and contract to do?
Yes, actually, yes. The property owner fronting the sidewalks is actually responsible for upkeep and repair and all of the sidewalk.
Even though these are public utilities that you installed
unfortunately, years ago, before a lot of ADA came out, unfortunately, the utility companies did use our sidewalks to install their poles, hydrants, and such. And if it were a new development now, those would never be allowed.
Okay.
I see that the city engineer, who is a very wise person, has his hand up. Maybe he has some thoughts for us on this. Mr. Biazar?
This is Shahab Biazar, Mr. Campbell. So since we're going to a plan, and actually it might be easier to just dedicate that portion of the right-of-way. I mean, if we were not doing any plotting, then easement would be probably the easier way to handle this. But I would recommend just dedicating right away needed around the hydrant. Either way, but I mean, as far as getting this thing done, it seems like it's something fairly simple as far as creating that bulb out around the hydrant. There's two ways this could be handled. I mean, we could create an infrastructure list, and then this would basically, you will go out there and take care of the issue and come back, and a contractor needs to pull permits to do that. Then after that's done, we confirm that it's done, then we sign the plot. And that could happen. You know, we could approve the plot today with an infrastructure list, and you don't need to necessarily financially guarantee it. But if you are on a rush basis that you need to get the plot done right away, if that's your preference, and you could just financially guarantee it, and the easiest way to move forward quickly would just, you provide us a cashier check for those improvements, which is very nominal, and then get it done, and then we'll release that funding back to you.
Infrastructure trellis is what exactly?
Oh, infrastructure list.
Oh, list. Got it.
Let me bring Mr. Mulhall back into the conversation here. I understand that these are requests that maybe hadn't been anticipated or are unknown going into this. Would you think that a couple weeks deferral would be helpful here for you to work out the requirements with city staff and also with your clients?
Yes, this is Remold, Cartesian Surveys. I think we'll need at least a month to recollect signatures, given the change of kind of sheet one having to dedicate right away to accommodate something like this. We'll need at least a month if that's the route we're going to go. So I guess just forward looking, yeah, a deferral of at least a month is kind of where I was already anticipating. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Colletti, Ms. Danielson, we've run into some issues that we really cannot resolve today. And in fairness to you and to all the participants, I'm inclined to defer our action today until our hearing of May 24th. I think that's the correct date. Let me make sure.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's the May 24th. Yes. I'm inclined to defer this till May 24th so we can work out the requirements of this and try to find a way that accommodates the ADA rules as well as your own particular situation, rather than try to do this on the fly today. So
this is Ryan with Cartesian. I just wanted to note, I don't think planning had finished their comments though, in case you were trying to look to defer at this point. I apologize for cutting you off, sir.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And thank you. Yeah, let's finish then. Yes, you're right. Mr. Rodenbeck or Mr. Webb, you were in mid-sentence, I think.
That's okay. Thank you, sir. This is Robert Webb with planning. Just finishing up with the more of a development note. It's not an issue, but there with the easement along Summer, there will be a shed that is in that area. So I just wanted to make you guys aware in case there is any questions in regards to code enforcement or building safety with permitting. The shed's been there for quite some time. It appears since around 2010. I just wanted to make you aware since it appears to be right on the property line and potentially within that easement if they ever need to access it or anything like that. Other than that, we had just some of our standard comments. So of course the final plan sheets will need to be sealed and signed by a design professional licensed in the state of New Mexico. And once approved, we'll need the AEGIS approval of the DXF file. And so we'll need proof of that prior to final sign off on the plat. After DHO approval and final sign off, a recorded copy of the plat will need to be sent to planning manager Jay Rodenbeck. And as code enforcement stated, of course, the standards of IDO section 54C subdivision of land compliance apply to all the replatting actions. And then we also had some future development guidance, but that's just if you need it in the future to let us know how we can help and if you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Webb. I think with all of this, the DHO will defer this matter for the hearing on May 24th, 2023, so that the various details can get worked out. Thank you. That concludes this matter today.